Hello, everyone. It has been a long absence. I hope you enjoyed your freedom and your fireworks this past week as we celebrated the 4th of July. Sorry for our absence, but you have our beautiful voices back as it is season 5's premiere. Yeah, that's right. Episode 1 of season 5 is here for Brody Sports Talk, and we're getting things started with a lovely Brody Bites episode to cover everything you need for around the world of sports. Keeping the football for Friday. I'm joined, of course, by the one and only, the king of the Gold Cup, Derek Rusnick. Derek, how are you doing today?
So, do you know why eagles only knock on doors?
I don't.
Because freedom rings. Happy
Nice.
4th of July last week, everybody. Belated happy 4th of July. I had a good time. I did miss everybody. So, let's jump into it.
Let's jump in indeed. And yes, I may have tricked you. I'm not talking about the NFL. I'm talking about the other It has been a whirlwind. They've made it through group play. They've started the knockout round. And they are down to the final four. So those final four teams are Panama. They are going to play in the next game against the Let's watch the match on Telemundo. It is Estadios Unidos. It's because I like to watch the match for free. The other semifinal matchup will be Jamaica versus Mexico. Now, I don't claim to say that everyone follows this sport closely, but the semifinals are going to be tonight on the day we release this episode, July 12th. I would recommend watching them. They should both be good games. The championship match will take place on Sunday. It is at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, which I know is Derek's favorite new stadium in Los Angeles. Isn't that right, Derek?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If not my favorite new stadium in Los Angeles, definitely top three. I do love SoFi Stadium so very much. It's so beautiful. And so, yeah, I cannot wait to get caught up and see the final four in this.
And it was some thrilling semifinal matches. Panama knocked out Qatar 4-0. If you're trying to figure out why Qatar is in a tournament for North Central in the Caribbean, it is probably because Qatar Airways sponsors the tournament. And CONCACAF Gold Cup says, let's make that money, baby. the other matchup to get them to the semifinals, Mexico beat Costa Rica 2-0, and Jamaica beat Guatemala 1-0. It's not just a bobsled team anymore in Jamaica. They have some good soccer players there as well. I do want to talk a little bit about the thrilling matchup between the United States and Canada because they were playing late Sunday in Cincinnati. Actually, in some of the first few minutes of the game, one of the referees got a concussion and they had to have a substitute referee come in. It's the first time I can say I've ever seen that happen. But when the ball pretty much hit him in the face from 2 feet away, yeah, you need to not be reffing anymore after that. But the goals did come, but they took a long time. In the 88th minute, Brandon Vasquez was able to put in a header for the United States to put them up 1-0 in what made it seem like that was going to be the game clincher. But it was just a few minutes later, there was a handball within the 18-yard box. Derek, just to be clear, do you know what are both a handball and the 18-yard box?
I know what a handball is. It's usually something I don't see exactly why they call it a handball. Like I know what the rule is. I just don't like a lot of times like, oh, look at this replay, and it's like brushing something that I didn't realize you couldn't touch the ball with. And an 18-yard box is where you have two guys with gloves on and they run at each other and they punch each other in the face.
Not quite, but I like it. Just
Okay.
consider it to be scoring if you are in that range than otherwise. And if you do that within that area, you get a penalty kick. So handball within that period. And I will tell you this one, Derek, it was plain as day. Like the guy basically stuck his arm out, it hit the ball. And it was like, his arm is not with his body. It is not in a natural position. You just have to call that. It doesn't matter. Like it is in the like 91st minute of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Like shame on you, defender, for not being in the right spot. Like it just is what it is. So Canada put it in the penalty kick, sent it to extra time. Schaufelberg for Canada had subbed in and he was really making us look bad. And he ended up putting one in past Matt Turner in play. Back in the 114th minute and what was ended up given as an own goal because I believe it was Busio hit it. It bounced off the goalie. Defender and rolled right into the goal. So the defender was trying to get there to help the goalie, ended up going bing, bing, pinball right into the goal off of him. Penalty kicks. Turner did a great job. He stopped three of the five penalty kicks he faced from Canada. And the U.S. put in three, missed one, and didn't have to take the fifth because it was over. So I thought it was a great game by Matt Turner. Anytime you can have a soccer match that's going down to the wire and every minute, every shot matters, it's good to watch. It was interesting in this one, Derek, because the U.S. had 21 shots. But, you know, the U.S. had the ball 68% of the time. They shot four times more than Canada. And we were the aggressors taking it to them the whole time, just like those peaceful Canadians would want us to. Any thoughts or any questions?
Yeah. Did they serve poutine at the match versus Canada? Because anytime you can do fries and some gravy, I'm probably going to be there.
It was in Cincinnati. So I bet they did the like Cincinnati style fries with or like Cincy chili, but probably not poutine.
Okay.
Well, which is a disappointment.
I'm very disappointed. One of my favorite things about us doing this podcast is learning more about the beautiful game and the football, of soccer, whatever you want to call it. So it's because of Caleb that I started watching some games. I then got into Ted Lasso at least a little bit, gave me a little bit more to it. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm a fan of football, but I can definitely enjoy myself.
Yes, that's what we're going for here.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go from something that has field and is not very exciting. It seemed a bit out of the blue last week when Northwestern went ahead and put their coach, Pat Fitzgerald, on a 2-week suspension in the middle of July. It was like stuff was going on, but Pat Fitzgerald didn't know anything about it. Okay. If he didn't know anything about it, just kind of like failure to control the program. What's going on here? It turns out that Northwestern had a lot of bad stuff happening within its facilities, hazing, especially, like I said, it was hazing. It was mostly to freshmen. Just, it is 2023. These players can come in, they can make money, name, image, and likeness. They do not need to be humiliated. They do not need to be torn down. They are people. I think it was really interesting that the place that kind of broke the news was the Northwestern School of Journalism. So like the school paper basically got it out. And when you think about it, Northwestern is one There's a lot of people that have graduated from Northwestern that have careers on sports radio. You think of people like Mike Greenberg. You think of people like, I believe it's Wilbon, also is from Northwestern. Like, there's mm-hmm. been a lot of ties to that school. And for it to come from basically the student paper of students that are going to hopefully join sports media in the future, whatever sports media that may be, especially with the New York Times announcing that they were shutting down their sports desk, like it just seems very odd, but also very good to me that they were able to get there. They knew who the people were to get to the truth of the story. And then Pat Fitzgerald ended up losing his job. He was fired with cause. And I think it just goes to show that you can't have these things going on under your nose. You can't be allowing these things to happen. People deserve to be treated like people and nothing substandard. Derek, do you have anything you kind of want to add to that? I feel like I kind of had a soapbox moment, which is okay. But I want to make sure you have a chance to get your time.
Yeah, so I think what I wanted to add to this is what Northwestern said is that even though the investigation did not show evidence that the coaching staff knew about what was going on, the coach was being held liable because he is ultimately responsible for the culture of the team. And if there is a, you know, you've recruited these people that's doing this, if your culture is one that this is the type of thing that would be allowed, I think the school has made the best decision for moving forward. There, from what I have read, and this is, you know, a pretty new story, that the assistant coaches that would not have had any, you know, were not related to it at all, would they're going to be retained for the 2023 season, but Northwestern is out there looking, doing a nationwide search for a new coach. And, you know, for me, I think that Northwestern did the best thing for them. We'll see what happens in a court of law, because, you know, this is going to go there, and we'll see what comes out after, you know, Pat Fitzgerald sues to, you know, for his full compensation, because they're saying they fired him for cause.
Yeah, it's true. I will say, as a Green Bay fan, I know there was a chance that he could have had ties up there. So I'm really glad that he did not make his way to the like and respect quite a bit. But there's just no place for those things in sports anymore. There shouldn't have been that in sports in the first place. Let's move on. Let's get up with the times.
Yeah.
Derek, let's switch and let's talk about the NBA. So NBA Summer League is going on, which of course has had some really huge headlines, like Victor Wembanyama had a great second game, but didn't have a great first game. And Chet Holmgren, is he the chettiest Chet that has played in the league? It is the NBA Summer League. I'm not going to sit here and say it's the most interesting thing. They do have a lot of young players. I think it's a great opportunity because this is kind of like training camp on steroids when you think about it, because you're trying to play, you're trying to show that you can work with some of your future teammates, but you all that you are improving and getting better and better. Derek, I just wanted to kind of start this one off with you. First, I don't know if you've watched any of the Summer League this year, and second, I needed to know, do you think it's overrated or underrated?
Okay, so I absolutely love the Summer League. It is, I have watched a good portion of all the games that have interest to me. So, you know, of course, the Thunder games. I'm watching my, you know, people who are trying to make the roster. I'm watching the San Antonio game for to be victorious. You know, all of the like the Rockets game out there for one, not just for the recent picks, but you know, Houston has had three top three picks over the last couple of years. And Jabari Smith has balled out this summer league. I can't wait to see how he fits in with the rest of the team and like who takes the shots, because Houston has brought in some guys this year, along with having these younger, you know, early 20s guys. And then it's some guys just break out in the summer league. You're like, okay, they've earned a roster spot. So for me, I think it is underrated. I want to see this on a bigger stage. Like when you're watching these games, it's very much looking like a high school gym. I want this in a NBA arena. I don't know if it has to be in like one of the California teams or like Dallas, maybe. I don't know. But I want this in an actual NBA arena, and I want it to, because it just looks like I'm watching like a high school game. And I think this is much bigger than people can give it credit for. I think the NBA, they've been a money printer for a while, not as much as the NFL, but they're certainly making a move. And I think the summer league is just fun to watch.
I think I would completely agree with you there. I think that I tend to go slightly middling on it, mm-hmm. but like, if you're going to ask me if I'd rather watch a summer league game or essentially anything else that's going on right now, for the most part, I'm probably going to take the summer league game most nights, be able to watch something that I'm familiar with, maybe watch, you know, like if I had a college that had good players at it for the, because I'm a Nebraska fan, so we don't have players that are good. You know, I'd love to see them do well in the summer league, but like, I don't think it's can't miss TV by any means, but I do think it is quality TV. And I think that's where I kind of land on it. I would love, kind of like you said, let's see if we can get some players to potentially go to some classic spots to play their games. Like, can we get someone in maybe like Fog Allen? Can we get some games in just some historic type of arenas? That would be way cooler to hold them in versus random wherever it is in Las Vegas. Like, it just doesn't, no offense to Vegas, I just think that there's other ways you could switch it up.
Agreed.
I will say that I was looking back at the Summer League, and when I see that like Nate Robinson, Blake Griffin, John Wall, Damian Lillard were all Summer League MVPs, I'm like, man, they used to play a lot more in the Summer League than they do now, some of those young players. But it's very interesting. Very interesting, and I'm glad it's here. If you're going to ask me, Summer League is much better than the Big Three or the basketball tournament. So give me the NBA Summer League every day of the week.
Can I have a bit of a hot take?
Sure.
Summer League over the MLB All-Star Game.
Ooh.
Spicy.
Well, I'm fine with it. I am fine with it. So, Derek, let's stick with the NBA, but let's switch it up, because I want to get some of your thoughts on what happened as the NBA has announced the format for the in-season tournament. So, in-season tournament, they basically split them up into three groups in the Western Conference, three groups in the Eastern Conference, so they're groups of five. Then you're going to play everyone within your group based off of record. The winners advance to the knockout stage. And then afterwards, it goes to tiebreakers. Derek, it seemed like it was an interesting mix. I like the setup that they had for this because it just rings so familiar to me with a lot of things that I'm looking at. And yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on what you think of the NBA doing this and how you think it will kind of go forward.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I really dislike this this in-season tournament. So the most of the games are already established. They are part of the schedule. They're part of the 82. I understand that. But we are going to play basically meaningless basketball toward the semifinals and the finals for nothing that means anything to winning a championship or getting a higher seed or anything like that. And you're taking the chance of getting one of your players hurt. There's so much of load management. It's already affecting the NBA. There are so many of the I remember Greg Popovich toward the end of Tim Duncan's career did not play old. Like, he literally was just like, Tim Duncan doesn't play on back-to-backs because he can't physically play and that kind of stuff. So this is just going to, the more games you add, the worse off your product is going to be. I've said for a while now, I think the NBA needs to have fewer games. I'm sure there is a nice area of the between 65 and 70 games where you're playing your division rivals, you're playing every team in the NBA, and you know, that leads up to who the champion of the Northwest Division, the Pacific Division, whatever it is. But I don't think a tournament in the middle of the season is going to ramp up any NBA players. It might, you know, you're probably going to sell tickets. You're probably going to sell merch. You're probably going to sell TV rights. And great, you're making more money. But I don't know if it's going to be I don't think it's going to be good for the NBA as it is.
So I'm going to take the other side of this just cool. Because I think that it is interesting, because the way that I see the in-season tournament is a couple of things. One, the NBA is becoming more international. This feels very soccer-esque, where you have get this in-season tournament might be something that could help save a coach's job or do change it up a little bit. The other thing is, I feel like in general, the NBA normally is not known as a league that people pay attention to until Christmas, the All-Star break. These are going to happen, like they said, the regular games on Tuesdays and Fridays in November that are already in the regular season are the in-season tournament games for the group stage. So are you going to bench players? And they have been because of this semi-arbitrary tournament. I think that there's a chance. And if nothing else, I'm going to give the NBA credit for attempting to innovate, even if it doesn't work perfectly. But in general, NFL is clearly our sport. So
that's completely in agreement with that. You know, I want the NBA to reach out to its fans. I want the NBA to grow. I want it to be a better product. And, you know, we will see if this makes things better.
Let's see if there's a chance. Let's see if there's a chance. I know that in general, the finals are going to happen there in Vegas as well. So Vegas, who puts up a lot of the teams during the summer league, also will then get to have they and I think some of the summer league stuff does. I'm excited. I'm going to also sit here and say, like, my NBA team's typically the Dallas Mavericks. We're in a group with the Nuggets, Clippers, Pelicans, and Rockets. I do not think we have a chance of winning that group. And if it's a win the group and be or be the top wild card, we're not going to be either of those. And if we are, I'm just going to love it. Like, I'm going to love the fact that it's going to be like, hey, somehow we won our group over the defending champions. Like, there's something to at least brag about in what may be a slow start to a season. July, be like, why are we going to care about this tournament that has never existed before? You just got to give it a cool trophy, give some sort of prestige. I also would love to say, like, if you win this tournament, you can go higher in the draft lottery for whatever reason. Like, I think that would be a really funny play to put in this, but
more ping pong balls.
Yeah, you get more ping pong balls if you win the NBA in-season tournament. And that's if you get any ping pong balls at all. But I don't know. I think it's a lot of fun and a little bit different for sure. And that's really all we have this week for our Brody Bites episode. I want to thank you all for listening to us talk about football and then a football coach and then some round ball with the games that play in the summer and then an in-season tournament that are not the most important thing in the world, but they are fun to talk about. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at Brody Talk. Subscribe to us and make sure you don't miss a single episode. And on behalf of my good friend Derek, my name is Caleb Walgren. We are signing out. Thank you for listening to Season 5, and y'all have a great one. Bye.
Bye, guys.